Well, our study this morning will come from Luke chapter 15. And as we go to the first three verses of Luke 15, we'll see the background of our study. Then drew near unto him, that is Christ, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And then he spake this parable unto them. So Jesus did not disagree with their criticism because it was true. Yes, he received publicans and sinners and ate with them because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. But the problem here was the Pharisees and scribes, they did not see themselves as sinners, nor were they interested in the kingdom of God, and so Jesus responded by teaching these parables. And we want to see, of course, how Jesus showed his compassion for the lost and the importance of one soul as he taught three parables found here in Luke 15. Now, just as there were four types of hearts represented in the parable of the soils, there are four types of sinners represented in these parables. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And if we can remember the initials PFE, that should help us every day to do just that, prepare for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as, yes, sir, we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But also, we strive to have a good attitude. That would be in spirit in accordance to John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. And something else to mention. If you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available, and we can get those to you. And if you have Bible questions, please let us know. Your comments, positive or negative, they're also appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're closing in fast as our gospel meeting, Lord willing, will begin Friday night, this coming Friday night, April the 25th. And so we want to invite everyone to join in with us as we are going to be listening to Brother Randall Jones, a former preacher here for many years here at Morgan Street. He is currently preaching for the Richardsville Church of Christ in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And the theme of the gospel meeting, Hope in a Hopeless World. And boy, do we need a series of sermons on the great biblical subject of hope. So we look forward to hearing those Friday night, 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., then the 10:30 a.m. worship service, and a wonderful potluck lunch you're sure to enjoy. Good food and great fellowship. Then the meeting will be closed out at 1 p.m., the final sermon of the series. So we look forward to having you with us, and please let us know if you listen to the radio program. We would love to meet you. Let's get into our study this morning of Luke chapter 15. Of course, the parable, the prodigal son, is well known. But before we get to that, let's look at the other parables that Jesus gave, as these are all connected. Starting in verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them," notice, "rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So here we have 1 out of 100 lost because of his own carelessness. That's one type of sinner that's represented here, the lost sheep. But you see the importance of getting that sheep back home. And this is something to keep in mind here in verses 4 through 7. As Jesus said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." That's the explanation of the parable, isn't it? But notice now the next parable, verses 8 through 10. "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So here we have 1 out of 10, the lost coin that she lost. This woman had 10 coins and lost one. So it was lost because of her carelessness. So you see here there's influence involved. But we need to point this out. As a sinner who wanders away and leaves the truth because of other people's influence is still responsible for their sins. That is a must to understand. But we're just showing here another type of a lost sinner, and that would be from influencing the person is influenced by others. But let's go on now as we're going to the main focus of our study, and we'll want to spend probably 2 Lord's days in this study of the prodigal son, as we now go to verse 11. "And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance," notice, "with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went in and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Now we'll pause here and mention, here is the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son who left, 1 out of 2. And he was lost because of the sin of commission. That is, he wanted to go. And you see here, the other situation was, as you go further into the parable, the older son, he was lost also, verses 25 through 32, because he had the sin of disposition. He was not concerned about his brother who left the family. left their home and went and wasted his substance in riotous living, excess. So as we now summarize what we've looked at so far, notice in each one of these parables that someone was concerned for the lost, except here with the older brother, as we just mentioned. But the shepherd sought the sheep. The woman searched for the coin. The father, of course, in the parable of the prodigal son, is going to welcome his son home and forgive him. And the father exhorts the older son to have the right attitude towards his brother. Yes, as we see in Luke 15, 7, verse 10 and 22 through 23. So notice also that since the older brother would not repent, there was no rejoicing. But there was in the other situations with the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son when he returns home. So the point we need to note here is, for those of us in the Lord's church, we have a responsibility. Yes, of course we have a responsibility to erring brethren. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, Galatians 6:1. God is not willing that any should perish. Of course not. Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy so that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you from hearing. Yes. Are we understanding that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises? Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do we understand that? God is patient. He's waiting. But should man keep God waiting? No, we should all come to repentance and submit to the gospel of Christ if we have not done so. So God is not willing that any should perish is the point. And God allows man to make his own choice. Free moral agents we are. And as we study the parable of the prodigal son, we can see the fall and rise of a soul. Falling away, but coming back to God. So let's notice the six steps in falling away, as we noticed verses 12 through 16 a moment ago. As the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Here's the self-will. Yes, that's certainly a step in falling away, and that's the first step. My will be done. Not God's will, but my will be done. So the younger son was not lost through his own carelessness or others, but he determined with forethought, I want what is mine. This is the attitude that so many have today. God owes me. That's not right, is it? God doesn't owe us anything, but we owe God a great debt. So here's a lesson concerning those who wants God's grace without responsibility. And how many believe it? These preachers teaching grace only salvation. Faith only salvation. Well, that's not in accordance to the will of God. Of course not. It's nowhere taught in the scriptures. We have a responsibility. Now, and of course to God in submitting to his will. So self-will is at the very root of sin and is the first step of so many people's downfall. Going backward and not forward, like in Jeremiah 7:24. Remember Captain Naaman in 2 Kings 5? Behold, I thought. Well, he thought wrong. He should have submitted right off to what the prophet had told him to do, to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and you'll be cleansed of your leprosy. Fortunately, he had a servant that straightened him out. But look at Judges 17:6. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, the focus is on self-will. I want what I want, and not thinking about what is God's will. And that's the situation we're seeing here in this parable. Note Proverbs 16:25. We need to all understand this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we're thinking in our mind, well, this is the right thing for me to do. I'm going to strike out and just live it up. I'm going to earn all this money, and I'm going to... Well, they don't usually say, I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to even pray to God and study His Word like I should. Usually people don't come out and say that, but what do they end up doing? You see, this is thinking this is right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. What kind of people are we? Well, what are our thoughts mainly about? Yeah, that's speaking volumes, isn't it? Now, note Jeremiah 10:23, because Jeremiah, he sure did understand the way to be. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, and is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So Jeremiah understood he better allow God to direct his steps, because he didn't know how to do it. And we better admit it, that we're in the same situation as Jeremiah understood. We're not able to direct our steps. Of course not. It's not in us. It's not in ourselves to do that. We're going to go the wrong way. And thus, this is so important in seeing why this son fell away from his father. Self-will. Number two, selfishness. As he, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He wanted what was his. Of course, he would have received his inheritance in time, but he's selfish. He wants it right now. He's not concerned with anyone else, only himself. When we become so wrapped up in self, we do not have time for God. He may not have determined purposely to hurt his father, but that's what he did, didn't he? We all should see that. Nevertheless, he was willing to do so to satisfy his desires. And when we think only of ourselves, we forget God. We become concerned about our selfish desires. We forget God's commandments, as in Hosea 4:6-7. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Well, they should be ashamed, those who have forgotten the law of God. And if that's the case today, shouldn't we be ashamed? Yes, we should. Having forgotten the law of thy God leads to what? Number three, separation. Yes, he separated himself from his father and took his journey into a far country. Yes, the land of sin, you could call it. Verse 13. Now, notice, he's out of sight of his father, so he can practice sinful acts. But are we out of the sight of God, our Father in heaven? Of course not. Now, are we really listening to God? This is an application for us in studying this parable. God speaks to us through His Word, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God listens to us through the avenue of prayer if we are a faithful member of the Lord's church. Yes, we need to be faithful. And so this is communication with God in heaven. And isn't that a wonderful privilege that we should never take it for granted? And when we fail to study and to pray, then the next step is to begin missing services without being sick or at work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. So many want to try to justify forsaking the assembling of themselves together with the brethren, but you'll not do it with the Scriptures, will you? No, you have to make up something in your mind and fool yourself, but you're not really fooling yourself, are you? And you're certainly not fooling God. God does not leave us, but we can leave God and depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, you can see that. But the Spirit, you know, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and of course the doctrines of the demons, the devils. So we need to understand that. In Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So sin, as he separated himself from his Father, this young man, as we separate ourselves from God by sinning, that leads to the next step, sensuality. You see this in verse 13, this latter part. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Oh, he thinks this is the way to live. He's just living it up. Well, notice, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Proverbs 28:7. That's exactly what he was doing. Pleasures of sin are like a narcotic. One is never satisfied. Gluttonous in the American Standard. Being addicted, one is always doing what? Wanting more. Never satisfied. This is destroying not only the body, but the soul, as we can see in the next step. Starvation after sensuality, then what happened? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. The pleasures of sin only last for a season. That needs to be understood by us all. Hebrews 11:25. Pleasures of sin is only for a season. Then what? Not too happy after the season is over, are you? When one leaves the church, he is without the treasures in Christ. And that's being in poverty. Do we understand this? All of us. It's a lesson for me as well as anybody else. He had reaped what he sowed. Galatians 6:7-8. Apply. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So famine in the land of sin leads to the last step, self-abasement. Verses 15 and 16. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. For a Jewish person, what's that mean? And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He hit rock bottom. He was desirous to eat husk that the swine eat. He was humiliated, feeding upon the, you know, what the unclean animals eat, wanting their food. And he was lonely as no man gave unto him. Neither food nor love is in that far country of sin. What happens when we leave God and the church? But the parable thankfully does not end there. As our time is drawing nigh, we'll want to continue, Lord willing, next week and look at the seven steps in restoration. As we've seen today, the six steps in falling away: self-will, selfish, separation, and then sensuality, starvation, and self-abasement. So we stand ready to assist anyone in understanding the truth from God's Word, what we must do in order to become a child of God. And if one has wandered away that was faithful at one time in the Lord's church, but now has gone into the land of sin, and they need to return and be restored, the second law of pardon would apply: to repent and pray unto God for forgiveness publicly if the sin is public, privately if the sin is private, and certainly be faithful again, serving God, worshiping with the saints, and doing the best we can in living the Christian life. Yes, study Acts chapter 8, remember Simon the sorcerer desired to purchase the gift of laying on of the apostles' hands to pass on the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, he was told, of course, that wasn't right, and he was told to repent and to confess his sin before God and pray for forgiveness. So that's the second law of pardon. But if one has never obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. Yes, in studying the Word of God, our faith has to come by hearing the truth. Romans 10:17. Then we're to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Once we believe that, we're ready to repent, to get out of a sinful life. We'll study more about that, Lord willing, next week. And then, of course, to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, where we contact the precious blood of Christ, as you'll want to study Romans 6:3-6, we're baptized into the death of Christ, because he shed his blood in his death, John 19:33-34. Once we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins, then the Lord adds us to his body. We're certainly not going to join any church of man that he has made. We're added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, by the Lord himself. That's where we need to remain faithful. That's Acts 2:47, to remain faithful even if it would mean our death, we'll have the victory, Revelation 2:10. And we thank you so much for listening today.